Phil had heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God came to earth as a man, and this man was named Jesus. Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life. He died on the cross to pay for the sins of all who would believe, but Phil had doubts. He had issues. First of all, it was almost too good to be true. Phil had done much to warrant God's judgment, and he knew this. Second is that this was a big deal to Phil, that he knew that Jesus was a Jew, and Phil was most categorically not a Jew, and this was confusing to him. But third, and most importantly to Phil, not only was Phil not a Jew, but Phil was part of an organization, part of a group that historically had been very, very bad to Jews, even to the point of killing them. And so he had a problem. He did believe all that he heard of Christ. He considered himself a Christian, but he was so new in his faith. He was easily shaken. He wasn't really certain that God really had forgiven him. And so he was troubled, because even though he had heard the gospel and he'd believed, there were so many doubts plaguing him. And really the biggest one was, does God truly forgive me? I believe he forgives sins of others, but does he actually forgive me? Could I truly be forgiven? And the question he had in his heart was, perhaps he'd gone too far. Maybe he had done too much. He was beyond hope. And this is the question, by the way, for so many who have considered the gospel of Christ. They will say, I've done too much. I've gone too far. I'm beyond saving. God couldn't save someone like me. So Phil needed help. He needed assurance. He needed certainty about his faith in Christ. And so he called upon a friend who seemed to be very certain, very sure of himself and his faith. And so we'll call his friend Christian. That's easy for us to remember as well. Christian was a man of detail. He didn't believe anything unless it was completely verifiable and solid. And so Phil figured if anyone could help, it would be Christian, this man of detail. So Christian came over to Phil's house to help build up Phil's faith in the Lord. And they sat down together, settled in the living room. And so Christian asked him, so Phil, you need assurance, you need confidence in what you've believed, that the Lord truly wants to save you. Phil said, yeah, I'm having trouble grasping that grace could be given to me. I believe it in theory. I believe that it can be given to others, but I don't know if it can be given to me. And Christian said, well, you are a hard case. I won't deny that. And Phil's like, okay, take it easy, just a little bit here. So Christian got serious, and he said, let's talk about this for a moment. You know that my faith in the Lord is strong, right? And Phil said, yes, that's why I called you over here. You know that I don't believe anything easily, right? Yes, that's why I called you over here. Christian said, I'm a man of detail. I'm a man of verification. So let's start simply. Let's start with others that God has already assured, and let's go all the way back to the very birth of Jesus Christ. And so Christian began to get Phil back up to speed, and he said, now you remember the story of how Jesus was born to Mary in Bethlehem, right? And how an angel announced this to some shepherds, and many other angels came and glorified God for sending a Savior. And Phil said, yeah, I've got the story up to that point, but I don't know what happens next. Christian said, well, then that's my point. You need to know what happened next so that you can have assurance. So let me tell you what happened. So this is what Christian told him. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying which had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And so Christian said, there, you feel better? And Phil said, no, I don't feel better. What are you talking about? How is that supposed to give me comfort? So Christian sat back and he said, all right, I'm going to have to spell this out for you, aren't I? Let's break this down. I'm a man of detail. He said, let me give you five assurances to let you know that what you have believed is true, and that God has forgiven you. And so Christian started off. He said, the first assurance that I just told you about is that the word of the Lord, the word of God, is sufficient for saving faith. The word of the Lord is sufficient for saving faith. Remember I said this? When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. Now this thing that has happened, it's a word that means this word that has happened, this word that has been spoken, that the Lord made known to us. when the shepherds were talking about this, they left the angel completely out of the picture because they didn't see that it was the angel who was talking to them. It was God speaking to them. It was the Word of God. And in fact, when the shepherds started telling others, they said the saying that had been told to them concerning the child. They didn't say, we just went and saw the child. They talked about what God had said, that the Word of the Lord is trustworthy. And so Phil looked a little bit perplexed, and he said, okay, I understand that to a degree. Why is that significant to me? And Christian said, because when God proclaims something with his words, the words of his mouth, it is as good as that event happening. You remember once I shared from you from the book of Genesis? And Phil said, yeah, I remember. You remember what happened right at the beginning? God said, let there be light. And what happened next? And there was light. God speaking the thing was as good as the thing happening itself. And so the Word of God is sufficient for your saving faith. Did you notice what we said also? I said that this was good news of great joy for all the people, even a long shot like you, Phil. And Phil rolled his eyes, and Christian kept on going. He said, let me give you another assurance. The shepherds verified the truth of God's word. Not only did they hear the word of the Lord, but they verified the truth. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Yes, the shepherds did believe the word of the Lord concerning Jesus, but they had been given a personal invitation to go check it out. And so they took God up on his invitation. So they hoisted up their robes there at night and they took off for Bethlehem. Now, this is important for us to understand, Phil. He said, shepherds are simple men, right? Well, yeah, they're not rocket scientists, but they're tough men. They have to guard sheep all night long. They have to fight off predators. They fight off wolves. They fight off wild animals. They're constantly trying to take their sheep. I'll put it to you this way, Phil. Christian said, shepherds have a natural and high aversion to being tricked and being fooled. They don't like that. Remember in the book of Genesis how Jacob and Laban, his uncle, both of them were shepherds, were constantly ripping each other off? You remember that? Taking advantage of each other? Jacob working for 7 years to marry the beautiful daughter Rachel of Laban, and Laban did a big switch on him and gave him the, shall we say, not so beautiful daughter Leah instead. That didn't go over too well. So what did Jacob do? You remember how he systematically increased his flock at the cost of Laban's flock. So these guys were always at each other. Neither of them was happy about it because shepherds don't like to be fooled. And so the angel came to these shepherds, gave them the word of the Lord. They went off to verify it. The shepherds believed the word. They verified it. They saw Jesus themselves. Now, Christian looked Phil right in the eye. He said, here's the deal. Do you really think that these shepherds, if they thought they saw an angel of the Lord, and they thought that they were told about the birth of a Savior, and then they went to go look around, and they found out it was just a hoax, there was nothing there, do you think that they're going to tell anyone about this? Nope. They're going to sneak back out to the pastures through the back alleys, and they're going to pinky promise one another this never happened. That's not what they did, though. Christian told Phil, this brings me to the third assurance. The shepherds told everyone around them about the Savior. This is what they did. When they saw it, they made known the saying which had been told them concerning this child. The shepherds, who do not like to be fooled, completely believed that it was God speaking to them and that this was God's son that they had just seen. The shepherds, could we put it this way, were the first evangelists. And Christian reminded Phil that somebody had been faithful to proclaim the good news to him as well, and the shepherds were doing the same thing. They proclaimed the good news of Jesus Christ. And in fact, they're so convinced that this is the Savior of the world who's been born that they can't contain their enthusiasm, and they begin telling people all around them. So Christian said to Phil, you're a logical guy. Phil, do you think that these shepherds would have any reason to make this up? And Phil said, no, because they'd look like fools if they did. Absolutely. And Phil said, but you said something. You said a word that I was curious about. When the shepherds were telling all these people, you said that all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds said. Sound like that everyone else was kind of skeptical about this. And Christian said, well, that makes sense if you would think that, but it's not wonder like asking the question, like, I wonder if the mail has come yet. It's wonder. It means to be in awe. It means to be astonished. It means to be astounded, even a little bit fearful that something so fantastic has happened. And Christian looked at Phil and said, you remember a few years ago when you got that big, huge promotion and all of a sudden you were in charge of more people than you knew what to do with? How did that feel? And Phil smiled real big. He said, I remember that day. I was in shock. I couldn't believe it. I looked at the org chart that I was supposed to be in charge of, and I couldn't grasp how I was going to deal with this. And Christian said, you couldn't grasp it, but did that make it any less true? No, it was true, just because you couldn't grasp it. And Phil began to have the little light bulb go on, and Christian said, that's what their wonder was like. They couldn't grasp what was happening, but they began to see that something new was happening. You see, these Jews have been living under oppression of one sort or another for centuries. They're waiting for a Savior to be born. And now they see the Savior has been born. Now, Christian said, I got to confess, their thinking was a little short-sighted. They thought that this Savior would rescue them from Roman domination and restore Israel immediately to her former glory. And just so that we're clear, Jesus Christ will do that in the future. He will restore them to their glory that they had in the past, but first he has to save them from their sins by dying on the cross. But later he will come back and restore Israel as a nation. Now, right about here, Phil starts fidgeting a little bit. He's getting a little bit nervous. He's wondering, why is this guy talking about Jews all the time? And so Phil said, you keep talking about Israel. You keep talking about Jews and how they're going to be saved. They're going to be rescued. You're making me nervous. You do recall that I'm not a Jew. And Christian said, yep. Not only do I recall that you're not a Jew, I also recall that you are not on the nice guy list of Jews in our area, that they don't like you. And Phil said, well, how is that supposed to comfort me? And Christian gave him a big smile. He said, because God likes you and God has accepted you. That is God's amazing grace. Now, Phil just kind of rubbed his eyes for a minute, and he was having a little trouble grasping all this, and he said that. He said, this is a lot to take in. He said, I do believe in Jesus. I do believe he died on the cross to pay for my sins, but I don't feel like I can possibly be a candidate to be forgiven. I've done nothing to merit his favor whatsoever. And to be honest with you, Christian, I've done a whole lot to make God very, very angry with me. Christian said, would it help to know that a gradual understanding of the gospel of Christ is pretty normal, that that's a normal course of events? And Phil said, yeah, that would be helpful. So Christian said, well, let's go on then. Let me tell you about my fourth assurance. Even Mary took time to grasp what was happening. Remember what I said? Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And Phil stopped. He said, now, wait a minute. You're telling me that Mary, the mother of Jesus, didn't have a clear picture of the gospel, a completely clear picture? I mean, she's his mother. Of course, he knows everything. She knows everything that's going on. And Christian shook his head and said, no, she didn't. Here's how it happened for Mary. The angel Gabriel visited her. Mary was a young woman. She was unmarried and told her that she would give birth to a son, and she was to name him Jesus, which just means Savior. And he would be great and would be called Son of the Most High. And Mary, this young teenage girl, asked the angel, how can this be since I am a virgin? Well, Gabriel told Mary that the Holy Spirit would come upon her and conceive in her the Son of God. Now, this is totally overwhelming information. This is not something you take in instantaneously. But Mary, God bless her, a young woman of faith, took it on faith. And she said to the angel, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. A few months later, Mary was visiting her cousin Elizabeth. Her cousin Elizabeth was also pregnant and would give birth to John the Baptist. The Spirit of God came upon Mary, and she made an exclamation. She said this, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown his strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. So Christian said to Phil, you see that Mary was just beginning to understand the nature of her own son. And Phil said, now, wait a minute, beginning to understand? That sounds like a pretty clear understanding to me. And Christian said, no, remember I told you that when the shepherds came, Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. You see, when she treasured the things that were happening, when the shepherds came, and when they saw the baby and said, yes, this is him. This is the one that the angel told us about. This is the Son of God. This is Messiah. Mary took that and she treasured it in her heart. It means that you add it to the storehouse of knowledge that you already have. And then she pondered these things. It means that she mulled it over. She thought it through carefully. She was in deep thought. Phil, kind of like you are right now, trying to understand this. But she wasn't done. Her own understanding of Jesus was still developing. He said, let me show you. If you fast forward about 12 years when Jesus was a boy, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it. But supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey, and then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart, added more to the storehouse of her knowledge and her understanding. Christian said to Phil, look, even Mary took time to grasp fully the significance of her own son. She was on the same journey of faith that you're on right now, the journey toward full understanding. But she was fully assured. Phil, you know what happened to Mary? After Jesus died, after she watched her own son die, she also saw him after he was resurrected. He ascended into heaven, and after this, Mary joined with all the others in the new church of Jesus Christ. Mary was filled with the Holy Spirit just like you have been. And she was faithful to serve in the church as a worshiper of God, worshiping literally her own son. She came to full faith. Christian said, let me give you one more assurance. Because not only was Mary assured, but the shepherds were assured as well. The shepherds also came to full belief and worshiped God for what he had revealed to them. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And Christian looked a little bit thoughtful and he said, you know what I love? I love that the angel came and glorified and praised God. The angels came and glorified and praised God. And now the shepherds believed, and what was their response? It was to glorify and praise God. Because the natural response of a true worshiper of Jesus Christ is to render to him worship. Why did they glorify and praise God? Because God had told them that a Savior was born, and now they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was real. He had been born, and in fact, they were so certain that they just went back to their sheep. They went to live their life because now their faith in the Savior was fully formed. And the reason their faith was so strong, because they had received a prophecy from God. They had gone, they had seen it fulfilled and confirmed, and they were filled with so much assurance that they had a Savior who was Christ the Lord. And Christian looked Phil right in the eye and said, look, Phil, that's the assurance that you're looking for, right? That he is a Savior and he does want to save not just mankind in general, but you in particular. Phil nodded his head. He said, yeah, that's what I need. And he thanked Christian. He said, this has been helpful. It's helped give me more assurance that God has really saved me because, and he had a tear in his eye. He said, I have treated the Jews like trash. I have killed them. I am a filthy Gentile who has rebelled against God. But you are showing me that I can be saved as well. And Christian had a little light bulb go on over his head. And he said, how about this, Phil? What I told you just now is just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, this is just one little piece of the story. I've got countless more stories. I've got countless more proofs that will drive the nails of your faith home for good. What if I wrote it all down for you? And Phil said, that'd be great. That would be so helpful. And so that's the end of our story. The story is that Christian did write it down with God's help, all that he discovered concerning Jesus Christ. And of course, Christian included the story of the shepherds, which would be very familiar to Phil now. Sometime later, this written account came in the mail to Phil, and it was with great joy that he opened it and began to read over and over again. Now, if you know your Bible at all, you know that Christian and Phil are quite real, that these are men who lived about 2,000 years ago. Christian would be better known as Luke, and Phil would be better known as Theophilus. Theophilus was a Roman governor, and you would address him Your Excellency, or Most Excellent Theophilus. He had come to trust Christ, but he needed assurance that a Gentile, a Roman associated with Romans who had murdered Jesus Christ, could in fact be saved. And here's how Luke began his written account to his friend Theophilus. He said, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, Most Excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. And this is why we have the account of the shepherds and all of the Gospel of Luke and Volume 2 of Luke's work, the Book of Acts, that we might be certain of that which we have been taught, knowing that our salvation is secure and that when we close our eyes for the last time, the first sight we will see is that Savior. That is our assurance. Our Father, we thank you for the assurance that you have given to us. We thank you for the Gospel of Luke. We thank you that between Luke and Acts, it makes up a quarter of our New Testament. All there just to give us assurance, just to show us that that which we have been taught is true, that the gospel is the only way to know God. That when Jesus said as an adult, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me, that that is a true and certain word. Lord, we're thankful for the certainty of the Word of God. We're thankful for the verifications we've received through the many stories in the Bible. Lord, we pray for any who are here tonight who do not know you as Savior, who have not come to saving faith. Might you assure them, Lord, that you have enough grace for them as well, that you have enough love and kindness to hand out, that if they would but repent and get on their knees before holy God and acknowledge their sin, and believe that Jesus Christ is God, who died, who rose again, and ascended to the right hand of the Father, and now intercedes for us, that they could be saved as well. We thank you and praise you. Ultimately, Lord, the true meaning of Christmas takes us always to the cross. And we're grateful and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.